I speak to you this day in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Through the 19th and most of the 20th centuries, the Anglican Church of Canada ran, administered, and operated 24 residential schools built by the government to be run by the church. Along with the Anglican Church of Canada, other major churches, such as the United Church or the Roman Catholic Church, also ran many residential schools. Indigenous children were sent to these church-run schools in hopes that they would lose their culture and language and would take on a European culture. It may surprise many to hear that the last residential school did not close in Canada until 1996. The ultimate aim of the government with these schools was to assimilate Indigenous children into the wider culture. The government's goal was to remove Indigenous children from what they called evil surroundings. Their goal, as they put it in government documents, was to make the savage child into a civilized adult. Most of the Anglican schools were funded by the church itself, from the Anglican Missionary Society in Canada, and from the Women's Auxiliary, and by white parishes who were asked to sponsor children. We know now not only were children taken away from their parents to go to these schools, countless children were abused physically and psychologically when at these schools. Many children were malnourished by lack of food, sexually abused, physically beaten, and shamed and punished in unimaginable ways. Many even died and are now buried in unmarked graves around the schools, which has left countless people with trauma that is still being dealt with today. In the 1980s, the church was discovering more and more that in the running of these residential schools, it had a great moral lapse and had committed great sin against many human beings. In 1991, the Anglican Church of Canada created the Anglican Healing Fund in order to try and rectify some of the hurt that it had caused in the running of residential schools. And in 1993, the primate of the Anglican Church of Canada offered a full apology for the church's role in the residential school system and the wrongs that it had committed against those children. This began the Anglican Church's long process of reconciliation with Indigenous people that it is still undertaking today. Today in Canada, it is estimated that there are 80,000 people still living who went through residential schools. This is just a short sketch of the Anglican Church of Canada's checkered past with the First Peoples of this land, and the hardship and sin that in many cases it inflicted upon them. In the last number of years, the Anglican Church has made it a priority to re-engage with Indigenous peoples and to try and rectify the situation in some way and to reconcile with them so that we can all share this land in peace and harmony and view the other as Christ views the other, with love as a fellow human being. The Anglican Church has undertaken many practical projects of reconciliation across the country. For instance, they have set aside today as National Indigenous Peoples Day and given us readings and prayers. At local parishes like ours, there are many small groups of people who are engaging with our Indigenous brothers and sisters, but also on a national level, the church is trying to bring about institutional healing. As Christians, though, we must always know why we are called to the work of reconciliation with Indigenous peoples, but also any others whom we have wronged or have a checkered past with, both as a whole church, but also individual relationships with people that may need to be reconciled. The readings for National Indigenous Peoples Day offer us an opportunity as the church, as Christians, to take a step back and reflect on why Christ calls us to be a people of reconciliation. Throughout the season of Trinity, I have maintained that Christ is trying to teach us, his disciples, how to live in the world in the here and now in order to be a foretaste of the world to come, to offer people a glimpse of heaven in how we live our lives now and follow Jesus now. Today, although we have special readings for National Indigenous Peoples Day, it is no different. Reconciliation is part of the work that we are called to by Christ in the world now, in order to offer people a glimpse, a foretaste of the world to come. Reconciliation for Christians is different than that of the rest of the world, than the secular world. The secular definition of reconciliation is simply this: the restoration of friendly relations. For the church, it is so much more than this. We believe that we are called to be agents of reconciliation because our God, our Creator, is reconciling all of creation back to himself, and he did that by his work on the cross. God came in Jesus Christ to reconcile us and the rest of the created order to himself, and we as the church are called to reconciliation because we are called to be a foretaste of that God, of the world to come, where all will be reconciled with one another and with God. We are called to be the body of Christ here on earth, his hands and his feet, and part of that work is reconciling with others in the name of Christ. It should come as no surprise, then, that the day the church sets aside for readings for reconciliation with indigenous peoples is the very beginning of the Gospel of John. The beginning of the Gospel of John is a beautiful, profound part of Scripture. It begins with those famous words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." In other words, in the beginning there was just God, and everything and everyone in the universe came into being through him, and nothing in this universe is here without God. Life came into the world through God, and that life, that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Of course, this light is Jesus, and in him is the life of all the creatures of God, you and me and everyone and everything that has ever lived on this earth. We are then told in John's Gospel that the light, Jesus, comes into the world which he created, but the world and its people rejected him. In those famous words of the King James, "The world knew him not." But some did not reject him, we are told, and we are told they become the children of God, his followers, the church. It continues, "The Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." You may be sitting there asking yourself the question, what does this have to do with reconciliation with indigenous peoples or anybody else? The fact is the whole story of God and humanity is a story of reconciliation. God created us out of love, and we rebelled against him. We had conflict with him in the garden. We, humanity, inflicted pain on the heart of God. And yet, out of his reconciling love, he came into the world as Jesus Christ to gain us back, to reconcile us, humanity, with God the Father through the sacrifice of his Son on the cross. I believe that this is an important point to note for us as the church today as we try to reconcile with others. It costs something. Reconciliation costs something. For God, it cost him his very life on the cross. Through Christ, we are reconciled with God the Father, so we too, as Christians here on earth, are called to be a people of reconciliation with the indigenous peoples of this country, others we have wronged, and with those who have wronged us, both at an individual but also corporate level. We, as followers of Jesus, are a people of reconciliation because that is the kingdom of God. And we, as the church, are called to make that kingdom a little bit present in the here and now. And part of that is the work of reconciliation. The Anglican Church of Canada, of which we are a part, has started the hard, long work of reconciliation with Indigenous peoples across the country, but has a long way to go. Our group here at the Church of the Ascension is just trying to be a small part of this work. We start by learning from Indigenous peoples, like we will do after the service today. We build relationships, real relationships with people, righting the wrongs of the past. We do this work until we get to a place where we can all day, one day, live in peace and harmony in this land that we all call home. So let us end with a prayer for reconciliation. Let us pray. In the midst of conflict and division, we know that it is you who turns our minds to thoughts of peace. Your spirit changes hearts. Enemies begin to speak to one another. Those who were estranged join hands in friendship, and nations seek the way of peace together. Let your spirit be at work in us. Give us understanding and put an end to strife. Fill us with your mercy and overcome our denial. Grant us wisdom and teach us to learn from the people of this land. Call us to justice. Amen.
The Nicene Creed is found on page 188. Please stand. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds